I want to introduce my next guest. He's Chief Investment Officer of Al Frank Asset Management, where he heads up a team that scrutinizes hundreds of stocks for money management clients. And he also edits the well-regarded Prudent Speculator Investment Newsletter. But before I welcome him, I want to read a quote from Warren Buffett, which I think pertains particularly to John and his investment philosophy. This is a quote. "Of course, the immediate future is uncertain. America has faced the unknown since 1776. It's just that sometimes people focus on the myriad of uncertainties that always exist, while at other times they ignore them, usually because the recent past has been uneventful. American business will do fine over time, and stocks will do well just as certainly, since their fate is tied to business performance. Periodic setbacks will occur, yes, but investors and managers are in a game that is heavily stacked in their favor." That's a quote from Warren Buffett. And I'm sure John is in mind, but now I'm going to introduce in my next breath, John Buckingham. Welcome to the show, John.
Thanks for having me.
So I guess your philosophy is that the best period of time for holding stocks is forever. Are you in that camp?
Well, you do need to evaluate your companies. And our strategy, of course, is to buy low and sell high, as most people's strategy is. But we actually do try to buy bargains, which is the way that people, you know, live their everyday lives. They go to the supermarket and they buy the thing that's on sale.
Mm-hmm.
Stock market is, you know, one of the few places where they hold a sale and people don't want to show up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this is what's puzzling is that, you know, people today probably feel better about buying stocks with the markets at all-time highs than they might have felt, you know, when the markets were selling off there in September and October, because somehow the fear level rose and folks were worried, as that Buffett quote indicated, were worried about lots of things at that time. But, you know, there's always things to worry about. You know, we had Ebola here recently. Now it's somewhat died down, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these things will always pop up. And the mission of a, you know, investment advisor such as us is to keep people on track.
Yeah.
And to try to get them not to focus on some of these short-term things that can cause them to, you know, panic. You know, heck, there are people who are still sitting in cash from, you know, 2009.
It's true. Well, the old saw about be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful is a very hard philosophy to actually live by. It's a lot easier to be greedy when others are greedy because you feel like you're in good company. But John, where are the bargains? You talked about there are bargains that occur all the time, and the market's hitting new highs, selling at fairly high valuations to earnings. Where are the bargains?
Well, it's been really been a disparate market where the rising tide not lifted all boats. So if you look at sectors that have, you know, performed poorly this year, that would be areas that would attract us if you're thinking about, you know, putting new money to work.
You're thinking about energy as an example?
Well, energy is one, materials is another. Even some areas of technology and the industrial space and consumer discretionary are areas where there just hasn't been tremendous performance this year. And, you know, this is really not unusual. This is what has happened, you know, I want to say, you know, I've been at this for 27 years at the Prudent Speculator.
Yeah.
And it seems that there's never been a year where the rising tide has lifted every boat.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes it's value stocks have done well while growth stocks have done poorly, or sometimes large caps have done well, such as this year, where small caps and mid caps have lagged behind.
Mm-hmm.
So there seems to always be this teeter-totter where there are things that have performed well, and our job is to, you know, ride that wave, if you will. And then once those stocks have reached their fair value, it's to take our money off the table and put it into the things that have moved in the other direction and are trading at inexpensive valuation. So we're like the farmer. We plant our seeds in the spring. Immediately after you planted that crop, all you have is a pile of dirt to show for all of your hard work. But then nature takes its course. The sun comes up, the rains come, and in the fall, you're able to harvest. And then what do you do as a farmer? You replant again in the next season. And so that's how we operate, and happily the stock market has that Buffett quote, again referring back to that. The odds are stacked in your favor because equities have returned 10 to 12% historically, and value stocks like those that we favor have returned even more.
You know, it brings up the point to me that there is this assumption that things that are currently on sale or bargains, whether it be a sector like energy or materials, as you said, will at once rebound sometime in the future. For example, when you listen to the pundits speak about energy today and the fact that oil prices are declining, and you listen to some of the politics surrounding statements from Saudi Arabia and the amount of supply that the United States is producing, their message is that, you know, prices may really collapse, which is going to create a very different change or big change in the industry. And yet, if you're buying energy stocks today with the idea that they're a bargain, you're really presupposing that there's a kind of a mean valuation that they're going to go back to at some point, and that you're just below that now because of certain short-term events. Is that cyclicality something that's built in or baked in to your strategy?
Well, it is to a certain degree. You know, the thing about buying value stocks is that they're often priced for imperfection, meaning that you don't necessarily need a rebound in oil prices to $100 a barrel for these companies to generate substantial capital gains for investors from this point forward. And the reason for that is that the stock market is always an anticipatory mechanism, and there's a herd mentality. So when conditions go against a certain area, as they have in energy, you see a stampede out of the stock. So there are energy stocks that are down 50, 60% this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the price of crude is, yes, it's down, but, you know, what are we at, a four-year low?
Yeah.
And so it's been, you know, substantially lower, you know, in years past. So we don't feel we even need a significant rebound to, you know, substantially higher oil prices. Now, having said that, you know, we still are optimistic about energy prices being higher down the road. You know, OPEC is suggesting $110 a barrel might be the average price over the next, you know, 10 or 15 years. And very few folks think we're going to be at, you know, $75 or $80 a barrel for, you know, the long term. But, you know, again, short-term thinking dominates.
Mm-hmm.
And so many investors are, you know, eager to get into the quote-unquote hot thing and get out of the cold thing, that's what creates opportunity. And not to go off on a tangent, but if you think about what happened in 2009 when the markets bottomed and we began this, you know, tremendous recovery, it's not as if the economy improved immediately. It's not as if corporate profits boomed, you know, in 2009. Heck, the unemployment rate actually rose significantly from where it was in 2009. The economy didn't do that well, but what happened was that people had already priced in what I like to call Great Depression 2,
mm-hmm.
and all we got was Great Recession. So therefore, so much bad news had been priced in, and I like to equate it to the fat guy sitting on the, you know, the sofa, the leather sofa. When he gets up, the sofa regains its shape. And so a lot of that pressure of the world ending did not occur, and therefore stocks regained their shape, and that accounted for a substantial portion of the rebound. And yes, I know the Federal Reserve was certainly out there, and interest rates being low was a positive, and the fact that corporate profits did start to grow again certainly was a positive as well. But again, so much of the investing world is pricing in what people perceive will happen, and fear and greed drives those perceptions.
So when you're looking for a stock to buy, we have about 2 minutes left, when you're looking for a company to own, you're looking for a company to own for a very long period of time. What are a couple of the basic metrics that we should look for in order to kind of almost be more assured or have a higher probability of success of actually picking the right company for the long term?
Sure. Well, history shows that companies trading at low price earnings ratios, low price to book value ratios, low price to sales ratios, and with higher dividend yields tend to outperform those that are trading at high fundamental valuations or low dividend yields. So when you look at market history, you see what has worked historically. And again, you equate that to what makes sense common sense-wise, right? You know, again, if you're trying to buy a new car, you want to get a good deal on it.
Yeah.
You're trying to buy a stock, you should treat it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing is that financial fundamentals are relatively easy to calculate. You don't need to have a, you know, PhD. As Buffett says, you probably need a fourth grade education. Addition, subtraction, multiplication,
mm-hmm.
and some ratios. And yeah, it's relatively straightforward. Now, of course, you know, I'm oversimplifying it, but you know, those are the kinds of things that you want to look at. You want to look at inexpensively priced companies. You mentioned the equity market trading at a high end of its, you know, historical range from an earnings perspective. But not all stocks are trading at 18 or 19 times earnings.
Exactly.
Many are trading at 30 times earnings, and others are trading at 12.
Right.
We want to buy those that are trading at 12, generally speaking.
All right, so it's good sound advice. Get everybody to calm down and to remember what it is that they actually own. They own entities that are increasing their internal wealth, intrinsic wealth over time, based upon their ability to use the economy to create wealth and to sell products and services. And we as shareholders are participating with that. And in general, the economy is improving over a long period of time. So stay put and try to keep your excitement to a minimum. John Buckingham from Al Frank Asset Management, also the editor of The Prudent Speculator, is with me today. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.